You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April the 8th, 2020, mark the date. Bernie Sanders waving the white flag. I'm out. I'm done. I'm stepping aside. He's acknowledging there's no way he can catch up and beat Joe Biden at this point. So Biden is ending his presidential campaign. Spent some time on an online announcement thanking supporters. And of course, now we wait to see if Biden will in fact be the Democrat nominee, because we could still have a contested convention. We could still have some come forward and say he's not that good. We don't want him. And in fact, we'll wait and see how the Sanders supporters are going to go. Will they just stay away, or will they flock in groves to Trump as revenge? Or will they step forward with someone else at this time? A lot of events getting ready to unfold as we move to the 2020 election. Yes, that's right. In the midst of the coronavirus story, we still have had the wheels of the election turning slowly, in some cases being delayed because of the virus outbreaks. But we're still looking at a presidential election come November. There's something else we're waiting on, by the way, at this point, and that is we're expecting that maybe later today at some point the White House or the Health and Human Services Department or Dr. Fauci, someone will come up with some revised regulations on distancing, social distancing, and things of this nature. In other words, start looking for ways to begin to get us back to work. We've got to do it at some point. We can't do it all bang, open every door at immediately. That won't work. But we can start doing it in certain areas. Maybe certain age groups would be allowed to start returning back to work, getting back involved. Maybe some things, certain corporations, I should say, and companies, certain businesses that had not been considered essential, that they would be allowed. At some point, we got to do it. I'll make a note with you right now, and we can put this aside. Whatever we decide, whatever the president decides and the White House signs on to, it will be challenged, and if there are more deaths once we start back to work, and there will be, they will again blame Trump. They continue to look for every way possible to blame him. You know what the latest claim is? As you know, the president has been pushing the hydrochloroquine drug, saying it could be possible that it's helpful. A malaria drug founded back in the 1930s, the patent has run out, I should say, back in the 1930s. And the left is now saying, you know why he's pushing it? You know why he's pushing it? Follow the money. Trump's got investments in it. Give me a break. We're going to get into that in more detail. Let me give you some specifics, though. Worldwide infections at this point, 1.4 million worldwide. Deaths worldwide, 83,000. Those are the numbers we know. And, of course, that taking into account what China tells us if we accept Chinese numbers, and the fact that North Korea says, no, we still have no cases. U.S. infections, confirmed infections, 400,000, around that number. Deaths, 13,000. And New York City, of course, hit among the hardest, surpassing yesterday a number that had been set with the World Trade Center attack. 4,000 total dead in New York City. When we lost less than that on 9/11, they had 731 new deaths just yesterday. And now the outbreak in the state of New York, 5,489, more dying in New York City than in September 11 attack. And New York City is preparing for the temporary burials, which will include mass graves at Hart Island, the city's Potter's Field, used for temporary burials. Mass burials in New York City may be the only way to accommodate all these funerals that are needed at this point. I want to spend more time on that a little bit later in this hour. And at the same time, I'm going to tell you what they've been doing in China that's raising more questions. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Sanders is out. Coronavirus still running through the world. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Next 2 hours, lock and load, ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Change, change, change. 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 Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Many of them are unnecessary. They are deaths of incompetence. They are deaths of science denial. They are deaths of inequality. And so it's important for us to acknowledge how unnecessary the level of crisis that we are at right now that is due to the incompetence of this administration.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for the deaths we have in this nation, blame the president. Blame President Trump. They are, of course, ignoring when she makes her statements. And no one fact challenges them when they're on the air. They like to go after Trump and his news conferences. They like to go after anyone else. But when she sits there and makes remarks like that, well, she's not going to be challenged because on that particular program, it's a full liberal left-wing program directed out of New York City. So they're not going to do anything but bow down to Ocasio-Cortez. As she's saying, the blame is at the feet of Donald Trump. Incompetence. We've already had other Democrats claim that Donald Trump has blood on his hands and that he did not do what he should have done, what he could have done. And of course, if you're looking for them to have some support, they got it. CNN did a survey. This is a CNN survey finding that a majority of Americans, 55%, now say the federal government has done a poor job preventing the spread of coronavirus in the U.S. That's up 8 points in a week because we've had more deaths, more infections reported. And I'm sure some that were not sure, now they say, well, I guess it must be the government. You got to stop and think for a moment. The federal government has made everything available and possible and needed for these states. Even New York Governor Cuomo has said, we got everything we needed from the president. He said he would do what he could. He got us a ship off our shore. Now we got more beds than we need. California Governor Newsom, same thing. even when CNN tried to trap him into saying something bad about Trump and that he wasn't getting what he was supposed to get, as the CNN anchor Jake Tapper claimed. Well, some governors are probably afraid to speak out against Trump, fearing that what they need will be cut off. And Governor Newsom, to his credit, said, that's not true. That's not true in my case. He said, if I tried to tell you we have not gotten what we wanted and the government has been giving us a difficult time, Trump in particular, he said, I'd be wrong. But don't let the facts interfere with a good story. That's where the left has been going with this. So it doesn't surprise me that a new poll finds 55% are blaming the federal government, but a lot of it is in the hands of the states. And to that extent, the states have blown it. Louisiana not ordering that Mardi Gras not be held. The New Orleans mayor doing the same thing, not ordering it be stopped. And they suddenly wonder why we have a big explosion of coronavirus in Louisiana. Hey, Cajuns, you did it because you allowed that to go forward. That's why. When you saw Major League Sports pulling out of games, shutting down spring training, canceling events, did that not give you something? Do you need? So you're telling me you have to have the federal government come tell you what to do. And if they do that, then your clan claim, well, they didn't tell us soon enough. There's a lack of responsibility on behalf of many of these governors and mayors. Have there been missteps? Yes, but I keep trying to remind you, we shouldn't be trying to play the blame game, but every day I come in here, there's no way around it. And I'm telling you, each day I come in, I'm not going to get down that rat hole again with these leftists. I'm just going to ignore that. But I cannot, because they continue sniping from the shadows and finding a new point, a new position, try another attack on Trump, such as blaming Trump for promoting the drug they've been pushing, the malaria drug, and saying, follow the money. Follow the money, you'll find that he's making a lot of money off of it. We're going to get into that in the next hour. But when they also step forward and start just making up stuff, because no one's going to challenge them. For instance, once again, Ocasio-Cortez.
Overall, you know, not just President Trump, but this entire administration knew what was coming. Trump knew this pandemic was coming. The military knew this pandemic was coming. The CDC knew this pandemic was coming. HHS, Health and Human Services, knew this pandemic was coming. And there was a structural but also universal refusal to acknowledge and, more importantly, to act.
Yeah, because at what point did they know it was coming? Senator Cotton of Arkansas had said that he was already looking at it prior to the word breaking out. We had a letter that surfaced that came from the trade ambassador that said, I think there's something going on here. And yet, watch the left reaction when the president did start taking action, shutting down flights out of China, and Chinese coming directly to the U.S. from any other source, shutting it down. He got blamed for being racist. So even when he's trying to do it, they're going to claim that he didn't do enough. How can you do enough if they're going to continue to do that? Plus, we had to rely upon what the World Health Organization was telling us when they were, in fact, lying to us. I'll come back to the World Health Organization in just a moment, because that's a big failure, and we're going to make them pay for that, and we should. It's not going to bring back any lives here or elsewhere around the world. But we can certainly make it clear that they failed the world. And don't forget, when President Trump ordered the stop of those flights, all the experts that they want to tell you, don't listen to Trump during the news conference, listen to the experts, one of them being Dr. Fauci, who said the fact that the president stopped the flights bought us precious time to gear up and prepare our nation better. But that's not what the left wants you to buy. They want you to buy what they're selling. And you know, one of the things they're selling, this, I cannot make this up. I looked at this two or three different ways. I kept thinking, this can't be right. But it is. Chinese state media and our leftist media and the leftist Hollywood actors and all the leftist Democrats, far, far to the left, if they're not sitting around in one room together coming up with the ideas, they're certainly texting and sending messages back and forth saying, hey, carry this water for me a little bit. I've carried it some, you carry it some more. The Chinese state media now spinning in an editorial blaming the arrogance of the U.S. for not helping fight against the disaster of coronavirus. The editorial, beginning with the biggest of big lies, they say, the false assertion that China had no idea it was so contagious, when we know that's a lie. But then they end up saying the arrogance of Trump, in particular, the Western democracy, the U.S., because we are so racist, we allowed it to move forward because we wanted China to get the blame. We wanted the yellow people to get the blame for this disease sweeping around the world. It's almost laughable, except that it has such a dire, deadly consequence. It's not. And again, you get folks like Adam Schiff, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat, California, coming in, also laying blame at Trump's feet, and fellow Republican lawmakers saying, you guys aren't holding him accountable. You guys are contributing to Trump allowing this to run rampant in our nation. And what does Schiff and the Pelosi and the rest of them want to do? They want to hold another commission, put together another investigative commission to find out what we did wrong. They're not going to look for anything right we did, but what we did wrong. They think that's another way. And why? Because, it's an effort to defeat Trump in advance of the election. And their stakes just got higher today with Bernie Sanders stepping out. We're going to talk about that again in more detail in a moment. But now, if they thought they had some hope that Sanders, somebody could upset this guy, Sanders is gone. So they will continue to push. What we're doing is trying to focus on how do we continue to deal with this? When can we open up our country? And how do we do it in such a way that it's helpful and not detrimental? And there may be false starts. It could very well be that we say, by the government saying, okay, we're going to open certain industries, and they suddenly pull back and say, okay, pull some of those back off the table. We can't open them yet. Maybe the idea is ages. Those 20 to 40, 45 years of age, if you can return to your job and it's open, you should do so. Restaurants reopen with servers and so forth along that age, cooks and so forth. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Whatever happens, they're going to blame Trump if it goes wrong, and there will continue to be deaths. And it goes back also, as I pointed out earlier, to the World Health Organization and the lie it continued to carry on behalf of the Chinese. In the next hour, I've got James Carafano joining us from the Heritage Foundation. And we're gonna take a closer look at the lies from the World Health Organization and China, and how do we punish them. Well, one thing we do with the World Health Organization is shut off the money. Here's President Trump.
WHO, that's the World Health Organization, receives vast amounts of money from the United States, and they had a lot of information early, and they didn't want to, they seemed to be very China-centric. And we have to look into that, so we're going to look into it, and we're going to put a hold on money spent to the WHO. We're going to put a very powerful hold on it.
Let me give you specifics. The World Health Organization is assessing us, assessing the countries, how much they want. And they want to assess us $120 million for the next budget. We have proposed, or I should say, our contributions as of March 31, we have given $60 million. And now we're going to say, we're going to go back in and say, we're going to pull off that 122. And here comes Senator Lindsey Graham, who also has a hand in this. Senator Graham.
in the next appropriations bill, there's not going to be any money for the WHO. I'm in charge of the appropriations subcommittee. I'm not going to support funding the WHO under its current leadership. They've been deceptive. They've been slow, and they've been Chinese apologists. I don't think they're a good investment under the current leadership for the United States. And until they change their behavior and get new leadership, I think it's in America's best interest to withhold funding because they have failed miserably when it comes to the coronavirus.
Speaking of China's relationship with the World Health Organization, looking at the numbers, the contributors, the biggest contributors to the World Health Organization as of during this last budget year, as of March 31, as I said, we contributed nearly $60 million. Number two, China, $30 million. Half of what we gave. And they were doing the bidding of China. Senator Marco Rubio, Republican, Florida, supporting President Trump and Senator Graham on this point. He said that it's clear the World Health Organization has now been politicized by Chinese influence and Chinese money. So much for protecting the world, as is their mission. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to fill you in on a few more details about Bernie Sanders suddenly saying, I'm out of the way. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to express to each of you my deep gratitude for helping to create an unprecedented grassroots political campaign that has had a profound impact in changing our nation. I know that there may be some in our movement who disagree with this decision, but as I see the crisis gripping the nation, exacerbated by a president unwilling or unable to provide any kind of credible leadership, and the work that needs to be done to protect people in this most desperate hour, I cannot in good conscience continue to mount a campaign that cannot win and which would interfere with the important work required of all of us in this difficult hour.
Senator Bernie Sanders officially announcing, I'm out. And Quentin, my director, I saw what you did there. I saw what you did. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove a Chevy to the levee. That's what Bernie Sanders has done. He's stepping aside, and of course, in the process, let's take another swipe at Donald Trump. I'm doing it. He kind of acknowledges a little deep, that because I have no chance of winning. But I'm doing it because our nation is in a risky situation and facing a crisis right now, and we need someone who knows how to lead. So he says, I'm stepping aside because Biden would be the one who knows how to lead. Biden, of course, the same one that we had yesterday, him debating himself. Do we still have that available? Biden debating himself yesterday on what Trump has done right and done wrong regarding the virus. So with Bernie deciding, we have such a crisis on in this country, I cannot in good faith continue to run my campaign because we don't have anyone in the White House who knows what he's doing. He's going to step aside and open the door wider. May not be fully open yet because there could be some debate at the convention. But he's going to step aside and give more room to former Vice President Biden, who can debate between them just himself. He doesn't need anyone else on stage to debate on what we have or have not done correct about dealing with coronavirus, and is it a threat or is it not? And to the extent that President Trump had shut down the airlines coming out of China and tried to shut off the traffic as soon as he could, And remember, Bernie chastised him and then turned around and did a reversal. Here we go.
This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysteria, xenophobia, hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science.
You know, 45 nations had already moved to keep block China's personnel from being able to come to the United States before the president moved. It's about pace. It's about the urgency, and I don't think there's been enough of it.
Not enough urgency because you moved too soon to stop the flights. And then you can't make sense out of this. Don't even bother. You'll run yourself ragged. Just like that dog chasing his tail. You will never catch it. All right, so Sanders moving aside. I want to go back to the coronavirus issue because there are a lot of personal things you might have a concern about as to you see folks with or without masks, with or without gloves in stores. Is that a good or bad idea? I want to bring in Dr. Rick Lehman because he's on the front line of some of the medical needs here in this community and can give you a good idea of what they're seeing, what they're hearing, and some related items. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures, six legs, eight legs, maybe more? Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com, schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
Larry Connors USA.
So in full disclosure, full transparency, my next guest is a friend, but also a surgeon that has done both of my rotator cuffs and also helped me with an infection at one point. Dr. Rick Lehman of U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Doc, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Glad to be here.
Well, you had taken a trip to Antarctica not too long ago. I noticed there's a cruise ship that departed March the 15th on a voyage to Antarctica, and out of the 217 on board, 128 are now positive for the coronavirus. You timed your trip just right.
You know, this is a nightmare, and I think these cruise ships right now are nightmares, as are nursing homes, because I think they're just hotbeds, you know, for this COVID based on proximity. I mean, there's no way to social distance on a cruise ship, and, you know, we went to Antarctica, had a great time, but I just can't even imagine the mess that they're in, because in reading the article this morning, they're not letting anybody off the boat. And of course, why would you? If you were a province or a town, you know, you're not going to let a whole bunch of people with COVID come off and infect everybody. And now you're truly in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's nowhere farther than Antarctica. And now, you know, you're on a cruise ship and you're sick. So again, I can't think of a worse situation.
Yeah, and that's obviously why we're going to need to have a lot of money to help support the cruise lines, get them back, because who wants to go on a cruise anytime soon? Now, the airline industry is facing the same issue, that once you're on that, you're in that tube at 40,000 feet, you can't really go very far any other place, so a mask could be the only thing, or a lot of folks just not flying either right now.
Oh, and again, I would endorse that. I would be very uncomfortable. Now, the people that I've talked to that have flown commercial said, you know, there's literally 8 or 10 people, and they're able to social distance probably at the negative of the airline industry. They don't want you to social distance. They want everybody in their seats. but apparently very few people are flying. But again, I'd be very uncomfortable in a full plane with people that I didn't know sitting on both sides of me, or somebody right behind me or right in front of me. I think, again, you know, that proximity is going to lead to disease. And again, that's no different than a nursing home or New York City or a subway, et cetera.
And I think the thing that suddenly accelerated even my concern and thought, I mean, we heard originally that, you know, it could be droplets that are deposited on something you end up touching. It could stay there for a while, that it might hang in the air for a little bit. And then word coming out that it can be not only from a sneeze or a cough, but simply talking, the air I'm expelling, I might have be carrying it, and I'm not showing any symptoms when I spread it. I'm looking at a report that came out of, let me see, what's the source here? They're doing a study at a hospital facility and said air samples from hallways outside the rooms where the staff was moving in and out of the doors of patients' rooms also positive. In other words, it being airborne. To me, that suddenly accelerated, maybe I do need a mask when I go into a grocery store or something.
Well, I think everybody, if they're going to go outside, should wear a mask, number one, unless they're going to go walk in a park and there really isn't anyone around. There was a study from MIT that showed that it's possible that you can project those particles. You probably saw 27 feet, but, you know, 10, so let's say it's 10 feet or 12 feet. 12 feet's a long way. You know, that's, you're probably not 12 feet from a door. You're probably closer to 12 feet from a door, and in a hospital, you're definitely closer than 12 feet from a door. So again, 12 to 14 feet, to my recollection, would be very. That was a 50th percentile, I think, in that one study. I think that's what I remember. So again, talking and just breathing the air is going to be problematic. And you know, you hear about all these bus drivers, and I think what happens is people come on the bus, say hello, talk to the bus driver, and again, that's proximity.
So is it? Is it effective for the person that's wanting protection to wear it? In other words, that it will help me not get it from you. And also, if I don't know if I'm carrying it or not, by wearing the mask, I don't help spread it. I assume it's a two-way street to some extent.
Well, I think it's definitely a two-way street. I think the plan was you wore a mask if you thought you had it so that you were not contagious. And I think that's specious. And now I think the recommendation is to wear a mask so you don't get it, and I think it helps, but it really just depends on the parts per million in the air. So if you have a mask on, you have an N95 mask on, you're still going to get some, but you might get a little, and you might become an asymptomatic carrier rather than getting very sick. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir. You go ahead.
No, I think the difference, I think this is important, the difference is, you know, why do some people get very sick and some people just have it and they don't know they have it, and I think it has to do with the inoculum you get. If you get a little, you probably get, you know, you might get the sniff or you might be fine. But if you get a whole big whack of it, you know, you're probably going to get very sick.
And to that extent, it's not necessarily breathing as you walk by, but if it's getting on your clothing, then you go home to take your clothing off. I have to admit, when I wore one the other day and I went in the grocery store, I felt kind of stupid. I did. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a, you know, vanity. Then I also just felt compelled to shout out, give me all your money. I mean, you know, they don't want you going to the banks with a mask on. But you mentioned too, the different sets and how they're being hit. We do have a breakdown where we've seen that some parts of the community are suffering more, and reference age and our gender and our ethnicity.
Well, and it's just coming out now. So males get it more frequently than females. African Americans get it at a much higher rate than white people, and Caucasian and Asians get it somewhere in the middle. So it's African Americans, Asians, and then Caucasian. And so I think there is a much higher incidence now. Older people seem to be getting it, and it seems to be more severe. But you know, we are seeing cases of young people, 30, 40 years old, getting it and dying. So again, I think it's inoculum related. I think if you get a lot of it, your chances of doing poorly are higher, and if you just get a little, you may just get immunity towards it.
I noticed that there was an issue about the COVID-19 test shortages in the beginning, and now suppose they're getting them out, but I saw a report the other day that coroners are not able to fully classify if it's a COVID-19 death right now because they need the COVID-19 test. They had to give the same to the the deceased as they would the living to find out they've got it. So a lot of these cases are just being put under the COVID-19 label right now.
Well, you know, and I think that's a problem. So you're 85, 90 years old. You have some comorbidities. Maybe you have diabetes. Maybe you have underlying lung disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or you're a smoker, whatever. And then you get the virus, and then you die. Well, and maybe you die because of an unrelated pneumonia, or you die of a heart attack. But just because you had the virus, then what they're going to do is they're going to say, or they think you had the virus, they're going to label you as a COVID death. When, you know, that might have been one of five or six comorbidities, and that might not have really had anything to do with your death. So, when I read that she said that, I completely agree. I don't think just because someone has COVID, you can allocate their cause of death that just it has to be COVID. That's not right.
Well, you know, they began to revise the numbers, began to say that maybe it's not going to be as bad, and if it falls in 80,000 deaths would still be a lot, but. That's not far above our standard flu season on some of the worst flu seasons. So how many active flu cases are going on around out there that are being mixed in with COVID-19?
Well, that's a problem. And again, without you know, virtually testing all the people and saying, look, you have influenza A or influenza B or COVID, you know, I think there is a lot of lumping going on. And you're going to have 60,000, 70,000 deaths every year from influenza. That's just a standard number. What you're not going to have is you're not going to have these people that are so sick and so many people on ventilators, and that's what we're seeing in isolated populations. Now, other populations, I mean, I had a bunch of patients last week from places like Poplar Bluff and Sykeston. And, you know, they don't have any cases. I mean, there's maybe two people. It's now maybe it's going to get bad, but so far, you know, Montana, Idaho, these areas have very few cases.
Yeah, one of the senators from Wyoming the other day said that, and this is the 10th largest state landmass in the nation, 10th largest and 650,000 residents total. And he said, we've been doing social distancing for 130 years in this state. So, but here's the other thing. When we try to restart, we're going to continue to see deaths, even, you know, if and the concern is, are we going to see a second wave come back in the fall? But how do you restart the economy? Do you start saying maybe we take those a certain age and let them start returning to work and certain businesses like that and mitigating a little bit deeper on the remediation?
Well, I think the first thing you do, and I was on a call 2 days ago with University of Pennsylvania, they're going to have an antigen test out in the next week to 2 weeks, and it's going to be a home antigen test. And this is going to be, it's 100% accurate. And, you know, you're either blue or white or whatever the colors are. And if you are antigen positive, that means you've been exposed and you have antibodies to the COVID. And if you have antibodies to it, you can go back to work. You're free and clear. So I think that's one patient population.
And how soon should that be out?
Well, they told me 2 weeks, and then they always overperform. So I would think in a week. And this is the University of Pennsylvania. They're
And again, it's not a vaccine. It's just to evidence if you have the antibodies or not. And in the last 30 seconds, where do you see it going?
Well, I think that's a big deal because if you have the virus, you know, that's one thing. You're sick and you're contagious. But if you've had the virus and you're not contagious anymore and you have positive antibodies, all those people should go back to work. And I think the people that are in low incidences areas go back to work. So the people in Idaho and Montana, et cetera.
All right. Well, Doctor, again, I appreciate your time, and we'll be checking back with you. It's got many legs on this story still to come.
Take care.
You bet. Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. We'll take a break when we come back. I mentioned earlier that New York has so many deaths that they're going to have to start considering mass burial graves. That story still to come.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. USA.
Just in case you missed earlier parts of the program, as just as we began, word came down that Bernie Sanders was withdrawing from the 2020 race, clearing the way for Joe Biden to go all the way with the Democrat nomination, unless it turns out to be contested or something else happens. And also, while we were in the interview with Dr. Rick Lehman at that point, another breaking story that the number of positive coronavirus cases in the U.S. now passed 400,000. 400,000 confirmed. And by the way, we were talking earlier about the World Health Organization and how it helped cover and conceal and work on behalf of China, not the world health as it should. World Health is now, the director is firing back at Trump's threat to start cutting money. And his threat is this: if you don't want more body bags, you refrain from politicizing it. If you don't want more body bags, you refrain from politicizing it. As if the World Health Organization had not politicized it by taking China's word that this was not a contagious virus and letting it run rampant until finally they had to acknowledge. New York State yesterday recording 731 deaths, 731, marking the biggest one-day jump in this outbreak. The total death count just in New York State at last check, 5,489. More have died from coronavirus in New York City than they have in the September 11 attack of the World Trade Center, because most of those deaths are in New York City. It has gotten to the point that they don't know what to do. They have had temporary burials of some, but they realize more deaths, more burials. What are we going to do? And Mayor Bill de Blasio has acknowledged that it could be that he didn't want to get into great detail, but he said we might have to deal with a flood of bodies. And the only thing they can do then is turn to mass graves, crematoriums. The mayor said, obviously, the place we have used historically is Hart Island. That's the public cemetery off the coast of the Bronx. It holds the bodies of more than 1 million New Yorkers buried in mass graves. The fatalities filling the hospital morgues that they've got already, and now they're storing bodies also in refrigerated trucks. They don't have enough morgue space as they do, same situation down in New Orleans. And now New York having to prepare for the possibility of temporary mass burials in various locations. And here's what they said in a tweet. This is a tweet from the mayor of New York City. Is this from him or is the council member? I think it's a council member, Mark Levine, the chairman of the health committee. This likely will be done by using a New York City park for burials. Trenches will be dug for 10 caskets in a line. It'll be done in a dignified, orderly, temporary manner, but it will be tough for New Yorkers to take. So again, as of yesterday morning, they had 2,475 New York City residents die. So just around 2,500 actual New York City residents out of the total in the state of 5,400. And we could have more. And yet we're still trying to find a way. How do we get our economy back? How do we restart? How can we do it? What businesses can we say, okay, you can open up? And or would it be an age thing? As we were also talking about with Dr. Lehman a moment ago, that there might be a new test to see if you have antigens that might immunize you from the COVID-19. That maybe those who can be found to be free of that might be cleared to go to work right away, and others will have to wait a little bit longer. But I will emphasize to you again, and you're smart enough to know this, but I want to drive it home. Regardless of when or how we go about restarting the economy, you're going to hear complaints from the left because, unfortunately, we will continue to have deaths, and they will continue to say, Trump blew it again. You already got former New York City Mayor Ron Emanuel, Chicago Mayor Ron Emanuel said, we can't restart the economy anytime soon. We've got to do it at some point. and others still questioning, why did we do it? We've had other flus that have killed 50,000 plus a year, and we didn't shut down the whole nation at that point. But was this one that much different? All these studies will be coming out later on, and a lot of second guessing. And while we're doing that, in China, where it originated, reports are coming out that they've had so many deaths in the beginning, they were burning victims alive, taking those who were sick, older, not likely to survive anyway, shipping them into incinerators while still alive and conscious, according to reports coming out of China. Obviously, the Chinese government denies it. Next hour, the left claiming that you want to know why President Trump has been pushing a particular malaria drug to possibly be an answer for COVID-19. This is sickening. But they're going to say, follow the money. Coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.